And now here's Robert.
Hello and welcome to the next episode with Jason Jones. We're technically haven't moved. We're still at the Quirk and Beans in Edmond, Oklahoma. We're just recording number two because the very first episode went long. So we're not sure if we're going to actually run this back to back or if we're going to have a bumper in between. So this will come out probably sometime in the next few weeks. So we're here again with Jason Jones. He still has not gone back to Dallas, Oklahoma, or Dallas, Texas, whatever that place is. And we are so appreciative of the staff at the Quirk and Beans in Edmond. They actually closed at 3 o'clock, and we are still here. They said, oh, you guys hang out. Stay as long as you like.
Love it.
Love it. It's awesome. They got great coffee. They actually have Diet Coke in a can, so it's pretty cool. She got a little bit of jazz music going in the background. I'm going to turn up one of the mics so you can hear what she has playing. It is a really cool place to hang out. It is awesome. Got all this is a great place to meet clients. So we're going to the last episode kind of went full circle, and then we kind of like left it open for the network marketing and SEO type episode. So let's talk about that. So let's talk about marketing.
More hard lessons.
Marketing or networking. Let's talk about networking. Networking, I think, is kind of marketing, isn't it?
Yes. Absolutely. When I first started, I think most people go through this when they're new. They go, oh, I'm working on this, and I don't want anybody knowing what I'm doing. And
oh, the secret of photography.
Right. We're not working on some breakthrough nuclear science where we need to make sure we have the patents in place first, okay? and I found it didn't take very long to find out that if there are people who are so, they're just, you'll meet them, I guarantee you. If you haven't met somebody like this in this industry yet, you're about to.
Right.
There are people who won't tell you anything. Now, I get it. You know, maybe a photographer doesn't want to tell you his pricing or something like that, and that's totally cool, and that's not what I'm talking about. But when you just in general don't, everybody has a human nature to help other people. Uh-huh. And one of the traits of successful people is they help others. Now, when I say help, I may not walk up and say, hey, Robert, I charge this much for a photo shoot. You should, too. That's not really help.
Okay. Right. I got you.
It could be. If you're struggling and you ask me, hey, I don't know what to bid on this job. Let's work on this. But help can be anything. All through my career, I've leaned on a network of other photographers and we bounce jobs. In fact, I've sent you some work.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, we bounce jobs back and forth. You know, if I'm available or you're available, you know, things like that. Borrowing equipment, like I said early on, I didn't have a lot of money, so I leaned on people. If I needed a specialty lens that someone else I knew owned, if they weren't shooting, they were happy to let me borrow it. I took extra good care of it, bring it back, you know. And it's a network of, you know, it's more than business. I mean, it's a friendship thing, too. I mean,
right.
You know, you can't just be super cold with people and then expect them to help you. You know, there has to be a friendly level of.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of people out there that I've helped before. I don't want to say a lot. I'm not going to call them out. But it's like, you know, you call them up and then it's like, dude, like, what the hell? And it's not an expectation. I don't think you should help with the expectation of having return. But I think that it's somewhat implied that I got your back if you got my back.
Right. And we all know that one friend or someone who's always has their hand out when they need help, but then when you need some help, they're nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
And that's in any walk of life. I'm not going to sit here and say that's photography. That's just anything. But, but yeah, we for my career did much better when I quit trying to alienate myself from other photographers, and I started networking with them, and I became friends with other photographers. I worked with other photographers, and people, once they know you, they'll open up to you. And like I said before, you know, open your eyes, close your mouth. You're working with somebody else. Pay attention to what they do. You'd be surprised what little things you pick up as you go just by watching or hands on. And with this network, you can lean on people for, hey, I'm super, like in wedding photography.
Okay.
There's no rescheduling the job. That bride's had that date set for 2 years, maybe. I mean,
sometimes all their life.
Right. And if you get the flu, you can't do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't call in sick to that event. You've got to have someone cover you. if you call someone out of the blue, if you do the same Google search the bride did and go, hey, can you cover this wedding for me? That guy's going to charge you full rate, if not more.
Right.
So having a network of other photographers, and I'm not saying don't pay your guy who covers you, but if you've got a good friend who shoots weddings and does good work and you can trust him, you can call him up and go, man, I'm in such a bind. Let's nail it. Let's knock this out, and, you know, I'll take care of you. Because you know,
we'll settle up later on.
Yeah, we'll settle up. And you know what? People will do that, and, I mean, they'll do it no question, you know, and because they know that if it happens to them, they know that you're there to get their back.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah. And I've ran into that several times. I've never had that happen to me that I've had to bail. I have been sick where I bounced on the rehearsal and had Terry cover it or somebody else, and then I was there sick the next morning shooting it. But I've had other photographers that have called me up and like, oh, my God, dude, I am, like, so sick this weekend coming up. I got a wedding. You know, can you help me? I'm like, absolutely. I got your back. And then twice I've shot, like, halfway through where they call me and they're like, I know this is last minute, but I am at the wedding. I am throwing up. I'm trying to get through the ceremony.
Right.
Is there any way you could come up and help me with the reception? You know, and that way they can go do whatever, and I just go around and take some shots. But that networking is important.
It's very important. And that's how you and I met. I mean, we were at a training seminar, and, you know, we're just bouncing ideas and babies. And
yeah, and babies. Oh, my God, dude, that was so awesome.
But yeah, that was amazing. I fully embrace networking with other photographers. I mean, and you can tell real quick. I mean, I know a lot of photographers who, you know, they've had assistants that work with them once or twice, and the next thing you know, their client's calling them and saying, hey, your assistant's sending me his portfolio and trying to woo me into a job and stuff. Yeah, I mean, I've got a dozen horror stories, and I mean, they're all third-person stories, and we could sit here and chit-chat all day, but you know, there are some people out there that you can't trust, and, you know, I'm not saying that you just, you know, open the front door for everybody, but, you know, after a couple of times of working with somebody or hanging out or whatever, you kind of know if that person's, you know, somebody that, you know, hey, this guy
that you can trust.
Yeah. This guy's doing a good thing. He's a good photographer. I mean, this is somebody I should know. And, you know, you just develop that it's developing a relationship. And the same as if you were just finding a friend somewhere, or, you know, someone you knew at work, or whatever the scenario, having a good network of other photographers, I think, is key, especially if you're just starting out, because you don't know everything in Photoshop. And like I said, we can go to YouTube and we can look up some stuff, but there's 100 ways to skin a cat in Photoshop and Lightroom, and the thing you find on YouTube may not really suit your situation, but a photographer who does the same kind of photography you do, that, you know, if you call them up, oh, yeah, you could do it that way, but they'll show you a little trick, and it's bam, I never even thought of that. And it cuts your editing time down, or it solves your problem you're having right then and there, and you don't have to farm it out to a retoucher or something like that.
Not always, although I did farm one out to a retoucher last night, which was good because I farmed it out so I could go out drinking with you.
Well, there we go. Priorities.
Now, when you started, like we talked about on the last show, you already had some network people. Basically, where you had some people that you were able to lean on for your network already. They were already in the photography area.
Yes.
What about someone that's brand spanking new that they don't have? I mean, you know, where can they find a market?
You need to go. And I think if you're starting out, you should be doing this anyway. Attend, be again, this is just like education, when I was talking about, you know, a trade school or something, be selective, but go to some seminars and don't be the guy that sits in the back corner and says nothing. Okay, go when they always have every seminar that I've been to, no matter what it's for, if it was for, you know, wedding photography, portraits, anything, they always put in a couple of breaks and a couple of kind of social time frames. Those are there for a reason, not just because the presenter needs a break or whatever.
Oh, I thought that was because of me.
Well, I mean,
I need to have some spit, and I'm drinking liquor in the back.
Well, yeah, I'm getting older. I've got to run to the bathroom more.
Yes, absolutely.
So, but utilize that, you know, I mean, you can go around those and introduce yourself to some people. And like the last one I went to, everybody had their city on the name tag. And so you walk around and you see somebody else from, I mean, Oklahoma City, and you go, hey, I'm from Oklahoma City too. And, you know,
Strike up a conversation.
I mean, it's just as simple as saying hi. And people in general don't want to open up like that. And I'm, as you can tell from the length of these podcasts, I have no problem talking your ear off.
Yeah, I have no problem talking at all. You're in the right place.
So, I mean, maybe people at seminars have been like, I wish this guy would shut up. But, yeah, so just, you know, utilize any opportunity. And networking is not just other photographers as well. You never know. I mean, you could be chatting to somebody in the airport at a terminal, and they have no use for your services, but maybe they're a photography buff. They saw your carry-on Pelican or something, and they said something about it. You give them a card and walk away, and then 6 months later, the company this guy works for, their marketing person calls you and says, yeah, so-and-so had your card, and he thought your stuff was good. I mean, it literally, there's no rhyme or reason. Stuff will happen that way.
But you got to start. You got to work it to begin with.
You have to work to begin with. Like I said, work. Just have to work.
Yeah, and I think you're right. A lot of times those seminars, it's like at least make friends with who's beside you.
Turn
to them like, hey, my name is Robert. Listen, I'm from Oklahoma City. They have this great podcast, whatever. Give them a card. Make a friend as a photographer. So when you travel somewhere, you got some place to go hang out or talk to.
I cannot tell you how many photographers that I know in Oklahoma, especially.
That's because we're a lonely bunch.
I have couch surfed one end of Oklahoma to the other. But I'm grateful for it, you know, and I have these friends, and it's people that I may not talk to every day, you know, and sometimes I go a month without talking to people, but that's okay. I mean, it's not a...
But it's because we're working.
We're working, and we're busy, and, you know, we all have real lives, and I think most people understand that we can't, you know, we're not 13-year-old girls that can chit-chat every day. And,
oh, really?
Well, some of us may be, but... But yeah, so like I said, I lean on that network not just for photography. You know, I've couch surfed across Oklahoma. I'm sleeping on one.
Sleeping on one right now, courtesy of Jim Felder.
Absolutely.
Sleeping in his studio.
Right. I'm making my way around Oklahoma City. And but I mean, I've done it all over Texas. I mean, I know photographers over the last 10 years. I mean, I know photographers from one end of this country to the other, and there's pretty much not a place in this country I could go that I can't pick up the phone and go, hey, man, I really just need a couch to crash on before my flight in the morning. I don't want to spend $100 on a hotel room to get 4 hours sleep, and you live
right
by the airport or something. And it's not even a question of, I mean, it's like, absolutely. It's like, I don't have to beg or anything. It's, no, sure, anything, you know.
Like, we'll fix you up.
And I would totally return the favor when they come to Dallas. So it's good. A network is really good to have for all aspects of this business.
Yeah, so, you know, and okay, so I'm going to be, I'm just going to be a little ass because people expect me to be that way.
That's okay.
So I think in networking, I think Facebook is a good place to start, but I think that people get hung up too long on Facebook.
Absolutely. Facebook, and I'll tell you this, I keep Facebook mostly for friends and family, and because there's more of your personal life on there. And not that I have anything to hide from clients or whatever, but I separate that out. I still use Facebook for personal life things because there's more of your personal life out there with the way Facebook works and our natural tendency to use it in the way it was designed. What I love about Instagram, and I highly recommend, if you don't have an Instagram account as a photographer, get one. I regret waiting as long as I did. I thought, I don't need multiple social media platforms, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I regret not getting on Instagram sooner. I have booked more work off of Instagram in the last year than I have in the last several combined on Facebook. Instagram is purely visual images. I mean, you can add text with it, but it's not... I know we've all seen the Facebook where somebody has so much drama, and then they'll post one good photo, but all people can remember is, wow, that person is drama.
That's got a lot of drama to it.
Clients don't need to see all that. Clients just need to think you have your shit together, and, hey, he's putting out good work, and it doesn't have to be all professional. In fact, there's probably only maybe a third of my Instagram is actually professional, polished shots. But I put, you know, when I travel and stuff, I'll post a little something. Hey, doing a job, you know, I'm down here at the border, you know, heading across to Mexico or something while I'm here. And, you know, just little things like that. And so it keeps clients interested, like, hey, where's he working next? Because everybody loves to see that, hey, that photographer's traveling, man. That's great.
And, right, right.
You know, just little things like that. So I can keep clients or potential clients interested. and move on from there. Like, I have an image that Southwest Airlines is using, and it was set on my hard drive for maybe a year or a little longer, and I just threw it on Instagram because I hadn't worked in a couple of weeks, and I didn't have anything new and exciting to post, so I just kind of did a throwback Thursday. Let's throw something up here, and it was a really cool shot of
Love Field
from overhead, but it was really directly overhead, and it's not an angle that you normally get. And I was actually hanging out of the window of a Cessna, not up against a 737 window with my phone.
Right.
And I just tagged Southwest Airlines in it, and I mean, their social media department picked it up immediately, and it worked out really well. So, so yeah.
But so I didn't have a lot of work that week, but you're still working.
I'm still working, trying
to be visual.
I'm marketing. I'm thinking about how do I keep the train. I got to keep the momentum going on this train. You can't stop. And I touched on this in the first one. You cannot ever say you've made it because you never truly make it. If you get to a point where you stop and say, I've made it, and this is a Casey Neistat thing as well, and I wholeheartedly, and I believed this before I ever heard of him, if you say, I've made it, and you stop right there, you will crash and burn. I mean, you will go over the side of the cliff to, when I say rock bottom, literally, because stopped working. You never truly make it. You really don't.
I always said that if you ever wake up in the morning time and you say, well, I really have nothing to do, then you've missed something.
You have absolutely missed something. It's a full-time job. It's a full-time job to be a photographer and a full-time job to market that photography.
But going back to the networking, I guess one of the things that always kind of drives me a little crazy is I think that networking is important with photographers. I think it's really important.
It's important with clients and potential clients, too. Know your industry. Know what you want to take pictures of. You know,
but I think the other thing, too, with networking, I think you got to be careful and don't be labeled as a lazy photographer.
No, absolutely
not.
Let me tell you
my story, because I'm going to be a Facebook asshole right now.
Go ahead.
You know what? The owner of Quirk and Beans is coming over. She should be on the podcast.
Oh, I should.
Like, come on. Like right now, 5 minutes.
Okay,
here, hop on the red mic. Hop on the red mic right there.
Hi, how's it going?
No, you got to get it close. Like right there.
Right there.
Can you hear that?
No.
Oh, you can't. Oh, you don't have the headphones.
Headphones on. See how it works?
So why don't you introduce yourself?
I am Keisha Cook, and I own Quirk and Beans Coffee Bar and Cafe.
And
Illuminate Hair Lounge
and
Spa right next door. It's wonderful concept. Peanut butter and jelly. Get your hair done. Get a latte. Or come and meet somebody for coffee and be like, oh, there's a hair shop next door.
Let's get our hair done.
Do you have time for a haircut? Well, which is great if we do have time, but we are an appointment-only salon. We do have two stylists, myself and one other, Clayton. He's awesome. And we have a massage therapist that works part-time, very part-time. She's definitely looking for clients, and I've laid on her table, and she's awesome. Her name is Heather Dehotchek, not to be confused with
Heather the
Hot Chick.
Did you just say Heather the Hot Chick? Oh my God! This is gonna go wild podcast.
If that's what you want to call her, she's okay with that. But
is she hot?
Well, sure. Yeah, her
really?
Name's Heather. She's awesome. She's so awesome. Yeah, Heather is fantastic. And actually, I met Heather through her husband, Clayton Reese. My other stylist is good friends with her husband. Was cutting his hair, and then he started talking. He was like, "Hey, my wife used to own her own spa and
oh my God,
Iowa, and she's." I'm a nationally certified massage therapist and esthetician and does waxing. And I'm like, hello, I have a beautiful spa room just waiting for her to come and work in. So she came up and loved the place and loved our concept and our business model. And she's ready to jump back into it. She's got a 14-month-old baby. And so, you know, just kind of easing back into work and everything. So
that is absolutely incredible. So, okay. So crazy question.
What?
Christian.
Please ask Christian all the questions you want.
Christian.
Yes.
Okay. Has he gotten massaged by Heather?
I don't think he has yet.
He hasn't? Okay,
I don't think
good.
So. No, Clayton
I would like to go one place ahead of Christian. Christian has done so many cool things. I would like to be ahead
You need to book with Heather before he does. Is that what you're trying to do?
I'm trying to one-up him? I may have to one-up him.
Okay.
And that way I can go, oh my God.
Should do it. Her cards are all over the place. I mean,
Heather
all
is
over
amazing.
On all the tables. Yeah, she's a cool girl. Really
you
cool.
Rock.
You rock.
No, are you kidding me?
You can come crash Quirk and Beans anytime you want.
Quirk and Bean is awesome. Now, you guys close at 3 o'clock on the weekdays.
We do, but we're letting you hang out for a while we clean up because you're awesome. We're awesome like that.
You are totally awesome.
And we're friends, so.
We have too much stuff for them to just throw us out.
Yeah, we do have too much stuff to just get thrown out.
You really
out
don't.
Quickly.
It's fine. This is cool.
So let's say a photographer actually listens to this podcast and decides to come in and get a coffee. Give them a little discount. Give them a little love.
Sure. And especially during happy hour from 1 to 3, we give everyone 20% off their drinks. So.
Wait a minute. I didn't know that.
1 to 3 every single day. 1 to close.
Everyone except Robert.
20. Yeah, no kidding.
Did you not get 20% off of your Diet Coke?
I don't know. He actually bought my Diet Cokes. Okay. He gave me a Dr. Pepper, and that tastes like oh, it tastes bad. It tastes like
sugar in junior high.
No, I was thinking stink bug. That's what every time you pop a can of Diet Coke, that's Dr. Pepper or whatever. You know those stink bugs? You're too young. You don't remember that stuff. You used to eat stink bugs on the
playground. I never have eaten a stink bug. No. I don't think
why?
My age has anything to do with it.
No, do you know why?
Why?
Because you're beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm serious. If you were an ugly fat chick on the playground, you would be eating all kinds. That's what happened to me.
Robert, you are terrible.
I mean, I'm not a fat chick, but I mean, I was a fat guy.
He always like this.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. And, you know, don't worry. This isn't live, but we don't edit any of this. Like, it goes up to the internet immediately.
That's great.
And, let's see. I mean, not a lot of people from Oklahoma listen to us. Just 28,000. So.
Oh, no big deal.
That's no big deal. Yeah. That's not a big deal at all. Thank you so much for being on here.
Absolutely.
I did not know about the happy hour.
Yeah.
Now, is that Monday through Friday?
That is every day we're open. Monday through Saturday, 1 to 3, 1 to close. You get 20% off your drinks. We also honor the Keep It Local cards, and we have some for sale here, too. We are part of Keep It Local. You can get your 2017 Keep It Local cards here for $15. We honor that for 10% off your whole purchase. So anytime you use your Keep It Local card, you show your barista your Keep It Local card, you get 10%. But if you come here from 1 o'clock on till close, you get 20% off beverages.
Okay, beverages.
Beverages, yes. And then, but the Keep It Local card we will honor for
everything.
Everything. Correct.
You rock. Well, thank you so much
for
being on the podcast. We're going to put this live later on, and hopefully we'll get some business in here. Come in and ask for the beautiful barista to cut your hair. Okay, so that little sidetrack was awesome. She was amazing. So let's pull that microphone back. All right, so I have no idea what we were talking about.
Yeah, I don't either.
Oh, yes, I do. I'm sorry. Let me get back into my mean side of Robert. I was talking about don't be labeled the lazy photographer in a network when you get on Facebook and you start every time you post, I'm looking for a location for a family of six with great sunlight at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, you know, with daisies in the background and blue bonnets, blah, blah. Where can I go shoot? Get off your ass and go scout.
It's exactly the same thing. I'm a big outdoorsman, so on Facebook I'm in several fishing and hunting groups.
Hmm.
So it's the same thing. If you post a picture with a nice fish, you'll get 500 comments. Where'd you catch that? What lure did you use? And literally, people would run straight to the same spot if you told them and go to Walmart and buy the same lure and run over there thinking they're going to catch that fish the next day.
So this isn't different than photography? This is the same thing?
It actually is not photography specific. It is a worldwide epidemic.
Oh, my God. Okay, that might have to be the podcast title. The Worldwide Academic... Academic?
Epidemic.
Epidemic. Sorry, I'm not from...
They call them internet scouters. For duck hunting, people go, where are the ducks at? Where can I go shoot ducks? Well, you have to get out of your truck, walk through a bunch of mud, and find a hole where they're roosting at, and then you know where to come back the next day and hope they're there. They may not be.
Wow.
So it happens in all things. There are people who don't want to put in any effort. They want instant gratification. And
they don't network.
They don't network. They just think they can literally go on social media and people will do the work for them.
That is absolutely insane. All right. So networking, find your network, network with photographers. Talking about that a little bit, that network with photographers, I think we talk about it a lot when you shoot weddings. Don't shoot a wedding alone. Because if you don't have any backup equipment, that second photographer that's helping you, that's your backup equipment.
Well... And I was going to say, the first thing, you shouldn't be doing weddings if you don't have backup equipment. But
Well, yes. I
get it. There are some people starting off, and maybe you're doing something super low budget just to get the experience or whatever. I don't shoot weddings. I mean, I used to, but...
You did.
This is... That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, but I remember having long conversations.
No disrespect to wedding photographers, but I'm glad I don't shoot weddings anymore.
That's okay. You just say that because I like weddings.
So, I will send... If I get an Oklahoma City wedding inquiry, you get it, Robert.
Dude, you can send me Dallas wedding. I'm driving to Dallas.
There you go.
I remember when you put a single light source. I don't know if you called me up before the wedding or not, but you were like complaining like how dark it was, and it was in a gazebo, and you put like a flash in there, and you had like some of the most amazing images ever from that wedding.
They were pretty good. That was some of my favorite ones, that wedding. But I was lucky in the aspect I had a lot of time at that one to go and rig up some strobes in places and kind of pre-scout it and do those things. And you don't always have that luxury. So I think that was probably the most frustrating thing for me and why I like what I do now, which is architectural photography. It's not so off of the cuff or instantaneous. I'm a little bit more methodical and technical. So I like to set my camera on a tripod. I actually like to manual focus. I don't know. Autofocus has let me down a bunch.
It has let me down a lot too.
The D800 does not have the greatest autofocus system. So I prefer to manual focus. But you know, it's some of it's just kind of craft and taking your time. I mean, if you think about, you know, back when people shot on 4x5, oh, look at this image. That's so great on that large format. Part of that was because they only had 4 film holders.
Yeah.
And that was it. And they had to go home and reload them. So they had to sit down and think about every shot and really plan it out. So, I kind of do my shoots that way. So I think it works out better for me doing architectural photography and food photography where I have time. And I can think it through. And it's not that I can't do the weddings or that. It's just... To me, that's a little more stressful. I mean, weddings are super stressful, even if you're a veteran at it. And thinking on the fly like that is not necessarily what I'm best at. I can solve a problem if I have time to work through it.
Right.
But weddings don't afford you that time most of the time.
That's correct. I think wedding photographers are basically a... I think the word photojournalist has been overused. I think wedding photographers are reactionary people.
We
react to what's happening. We don't plan it. We don't stage it. We react.
Absolutely.
Where you're, as a commercial photographer, you're a technical photographer.
Right.
Your job is to go in and make whatever it is you're shooting absolutely the best. And you have maybe not always ample time, but you have a lot more of a time to sit down and work through every single problem that you're seeing. If you see a problem,
I would say more jobs than not. I don't always get this opportunity, especially with real estate. When you shoot for real estate for agents or brokers, you're not going to get a scouting day or something. But when you're dealing, when you're talking about true architectural photography, more jobs than not, I have a scout day where we go out to the property with the client and look. I look at the problems that might crop up before we're ever there.
Like 24 hours before. That's not a lot of time to plan.
Well, but not necessarily. Like, sometimes it's a week before. With commercial real estate, I might go out there during the final stages of construction, but we're not going to shoot for another month, but I get a good idea. I mean, the windows, all the interior layout is done, and so I've got a good idea of what I'm going to be up against. That being said, the back of my truck is always full of gear. I mean, I take a whole studio's worth of gear with me anyway, so, I mean, I'm already prepared for...
Anything that's going to go wrong anyway.
Pretty much. I've done this long enough. I kind of know what to expect, but I still like doing I really like doing walkthroughs because it just relieves that concern. You know, I mean, with real estate, it's kind of a mixed bag, and so you don't always get that. And I can't tell you, I've been surprised more than once to show up to a house that had a really nice exterior on Google Street View, and then it's all red Venetian plaster inside or something just ridiculous, and it's just, wow, what am I gonna do here? But, you know, you just have to keep your – it's just like a wedding photographer. You have to keep your composure. You know the problem, and you work through it, and, you know, each situation is different, and, you know – you know that, hey, I'm not going to light this the same way I would, you know, some ultra contemporary or modern all white interior.
Right, so. It's going to be completely different.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's hop into marketing and SEO. So we talked about networking, finding those people. So what about marketing? So I'm a new photographer. Marketing is such a broad word.
It's very broad. And this is another one of those things that I've spent a lot of money with no return.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of us have. And there are just some things that work for some people and some things that don't. And you're going to have to spend a little bit of money to kind of figure that out.
That's pretty good.
Like the example that my assistant told me about that other photographer with Thumbtack. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, that's a third person story, but let's take it. You know, I mean, he's a good dude. He's not lying. So
right.
But let's take that at the face value of what it is. That photographer should have cut their losses way before then.
Before $4,000.
In my opinion, but I'm not that photographer, and I can't sit here and judge and say, you know, maybe he has a $10,000 a month advertising budget. I don't know. Maybe he stopped before he spent 50% of his budget. We don't know that.
Right. We don't know. And I think we talked about that on the last podcast. So let me fill these guys in. There was you heard from another photographer that a photographer on Thumbtack, which is a service on that you bid on jobs as a photographer or a vendor.
You have to pay, but you have to pay for each bid. That's how the service takes their cut.
Right.
And he spent $4,000 on just making bids for
in one month
and didn't get a single of the one of the jobs.
Yeah, so he didn't get booked for anything.
And no secondary exposure.
Correct.
Now, like I said, whether that's 100% true or not, I do know several people who use Thumbtack, and mm-hmm. while it's on a smaller dollar scale,
that's the same thing they're getting.
It's the same thing they're getting, is a lot of bidding out, paying a lot of money out, and they're only booking one or two jobs. Or they're booking no jobs, and you get no secondary marketing. When you look at what your dollars will get you and where to spend your money wisely mm-hmm. in marketing, I'm not saying don't ever do something like that to bid, but in general, you get no secondary marketing off of that. So if you're going to
spend, there's no search engine SEO that you're going to pick up or anything. Everything's going to stay on that platform.
Absolutely.
If that platform dies tomorrow, everything that happened on that is gone.
It's gone, and then nobody's going to find out that, oh, you've done 50 jobs on here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know. And so you get no secondary or residual exposure for that. If I buy an ad in a magazine, and for commercial photography, I think that's a big waste of money as well. You have to know your audience. I mean, that's the big thing about marketing. What works for me as a commercial photographer is not going to work for you as a wedding photographer.
And vice versa.
Right.
It's a different client.
If you let's say we put Trawick Images full page, or let's buy the cover. Let's get the cover of the Knot.
Okay? Yeah, get the cover of the Knot.
That Knot magazine is going to be sitting. You pay for that ad once. Mm-hmm. It's going to go out to all the subscribers and the readership. People are going to see it, but your residual on that's going to sit in doctor's offices or wherever you find that for a year or more.
Right, because they don't throw it out. They just restack them, relay them up.
So maybe you didn't get some immediate gratification off of that ad that month or the next month. I mean, I didn't see anything off of it. But 4 months later,
Three calls come in.
And this is another thing. People are scared to ask people about things. I always ask. If people say, if it's a client I've never worked with before, a potential client, they're mm-hmm. calling me and they go, hey, we're looking for a photographer. And, you know, I ask them, well, how did you find me? You know, I mean, there's no harm in that. I've met people who are afraid to ask that. That's part of your marketing strategy, because you have to know where that comes from. If they don't email you where you can track it back,
right?
It came through my website contact form. Well, then we know exactly how they found me.
Or it could be a friend. Could be a friend referred them.
Absolutely.
And they went to your website. Absolutely. But you don't know if you don't ask.
Right. And I'll ask them, and, you know, that's absolutely it. They say, oh, yeah, I work with so-and-so. And they highly recommended you. So, you know, and that way you can thank that person. At the very least, you can thank that person for the referral, because that person is doing marketing for you and they need to be thanked.
But it's because you worked hard first.
Right. You're always working.
You're always working.
Always.
So that's awesome. So for marketing, let's just go ahead and start with that area. Is new photographer starting out. Let's say, okay, so they're networking. We're on Facebook. Maybe we're doing some private groups with some photographers that are helping me out and mentoring. And let's say I've shot like two or three weddings on my own, small weddings. I've kind of worked my portfolio up. But the phone ain't ringing. So, that marketing, how can I get those people to find me?
So, without getting too far off the track on either side.
Tips.
I look at it this way. You have two kinds of photography. You have retail, which is going to be portraits, weddings, babies, pet photography, things that you are basically selling to a consumer at the retail style or level.
Okay. All right.
Then you have commercial photography that is going to be business to business. It's going to be headshots. It's which headshots is kind of a gray area. It kind of rolls both lines.
Yeah. Sometimes you're selling to a person. Sometimes you're selling to a company.
But if I'm doing, you know, if I'm doing a bunch of product shoot in a studio for a catalog or, you know, anything like that, I'm doing, you know, architecture for a big firm or something like that. That's business to business photography. And there's two different ways to market that. Each one has its own style. I assume most of our listeners are probably on the retail
spectrum. I think most of the people are on the retail spectrum.
You're probably going to have some luck with buying Facebook ads or doing things like that. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a lot more luck than a commercial photographer will, in my opinion. Again, for those of you who didn't listen to the last podcast, I offer a full 100% refund of any advice I give here for exactly what you paid for it.
Yeah, which is nothing.
Yeah, so... But
you're right, because if I do, I'm going to probably, law of average says, as a wedding photographer, if I advertise on Facebook, eventually I'm going to be in front of a bride that's looking for a wedding photographer.
Well, and let's go into the back end of this a little bit. Let's say if you're listening to this and you've never done anything like buy ads or leads, which I'll tell you again, buying leads is one of the worst wastes of money you can ever do as well. At least
maybe before the internet.
Before the internet, it was great.
But not anymore.
Not anymore. So let's look at how Facebook does this. So with Facebook, you can purchase ads and you can go into like, and I know it's been a long time since I've done this, so I'm sure it's changed even more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can select your demographic. You're a wedding photographer. You're going after women in from 21 to 35. It's a little bit of a broad spectrum, but you want the, let's face it, I have never met a guy that made the photography decision at a wedding, ever.
No.
You're lucky to get him to show up half of the time. You know? And sober, even less. So so you get the you're marketing to that demographic. You've got a certain age range of brides that you're marketing to, okay? What's the demographic for a marketing director at a business? What's that demographic?
Dude.
It's everywhere. It's everybody. It's everybody from 21 to 60, male, female, single, married.
Because you don't know.
You don't know. So you would have to either spend a bazillion dollars or you're going to target the wrong demographic. And you need to know your audience. You need to sit down and have a plan. Marketing is not seat of the pants. And I've done it by the seat of my pants, and you will waste every dollar you spend without a plan. If your business is already doing pretty good, I highly suggest working with someone who specializes in it. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of guys out there and gals at ad agencies that have pretty budget friendly programs that can do some, you know, marketing for your business. They'll take care of, you know, a lot of the stuff that we tend to get focused on our photography and we forget to handle the business end of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and so they'll kind of do that on a schedule, but that being said, it's all stuff you can do yourself.
Right.
So if you don't have a budget, don't fret. It's nice to have someone who may be a little more up on current trends, mm-hmm. And you know who is consistently, they have some developed plans going, and to pay them to
implement those,
your marketing. But if you don't have the money, don't fret. Every single bit of that you can do yourself from your computer at your house with an internet connection. And if you're so broke you don't even have internet at your house and your lights have been cut off, go to the coffee shop. $1.85, you buy one cup of coffee, and you can sit there for hours.
Yeah, that's what we did.
And use internet. Right. The lights are off at the studio. We had to come here.
Yeah, we had to come here.
So taking that strategy, you have to know. And like I said, I mean, I can sit here and tell you how I do it or how Robert does it or how I've told someone else to do it, and it's never going to be the exact same for two people.
Right.
You need to tailor it to your clientele. If you want to shoot food, you don't market to real estate agents. They could care less about your food photos, okay? I mean, they might like it on Facebook because you're friends with them and they feel obligated, or they like every single thing you ever do, but you're never going to – it's wasted effort. You're never going to get a job from that. So – Well, I won't say never, but you're marketing to the wrong audience, so you're wasting it.
So as an average, you know, given all the stuff out there, you know, your website, Facebook, Instagram, Google Plus, all this crap.
I know where you're going with this, and the answer is none of those.
Where is a good place to sink your most amount of marketing into?
The best place is your pocket, not any of those, but. No, all jokes aside, I'm a hands-on guy, so I do a lot of this myself. But I'll tell you, word of mouth is free. And that is your that is going to be your best, before we get into anything else, to supplement word of mouth. I will stand by this statement till the day I die. Word of mouth will make or break your career every time. Okay? You will get your best clients from word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an instance in commercial photography where maybe not directly word of mouth happens, but there's a lot of turnover with in businesses. If you're working with a company for a specific project, they like you, and you've got a point of contact there, two or three times you do a few jobs for them over a year or so. Oh, look, that person, I mean, everybody that has a job, what have you done? You've left that job for a better job. It's very rare that someone works somewhere for 40 years anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they keep it's a stair-stepping like right. We talked about the last time.
Right. And so what happens is that person moves on to another job. They may have got fired. Who knows? And it doesn't matter. This it has zero relevance. That person liked working with you. That person saw good results out of you. They know you. They're a person they can spend all day with cooped up in a studio, and they like you. They will go to their new job. And they will tell their new boss at their new marketing position, position they have, they will tell their new boss, hey, we need to up our game here. Here's our strategy. We need to bring in a professional, and I've got a guy. Now, here's where people drop the ball on this. They have no way to contact their client or ex-client outside of a company email address.
Right, like this person has left that company.
They're locked out of that.
And you can't get
you can't
to that
contact
person.
Them anymore.
Right.
So this is where places like LinkedIn, I'm not on there very often, but I maintain a LinkedIn profile.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram, I mean, it sounds silly, but you get these people on places like Instagram. If you work with them enough, you've got their cell phone number. When you find out they're gone, follow up with them. Okay, hey, I sent an email over there. I hadn't talked to you in a few weeks or whatever. I heard you've moved over here. I hope things are going great for you. You know what I mean? Tailor it to whatever situation, and just keep that fire alive. You have to keep working. You have to keep that momentum. Mm-hmm. But where people really drop the ball, they forget about
the company that person left.
That company, the odds are. More than one person there knows you, and they should. If they don't, you're doing something wrong. Okay,
yeah, right, because that's that marketing you should be doing.
Right. So you follow back up with the company that person left. Now you've got two clients from word of mouth out of one, and no matter even if that person got fired, whatever the bad situation was, it may be great. They may have just left because they doubled their salary.
Right.
It doesn't, like I said, it has no barrier.
It's still a contact with you for possibility
work. It's maintaining contact, and
right.
Now you have just taken that word of mouth is now two people, two clients, and this will keep happening. The longer you work, it'll keep happening. It's not an everyday occurrence, but I can't tell you how many clients I have from people where I make sure all my existing clients always have business cards and stuff like that, and so they will refer to other people that they went to college with. Will call them up and go, hey, I just got this marketing position, and hey, who are you using for photography? We need to get somebody, but I can't drop the ball on this and chance hiring somebody just off of a whim. You got some? Can you recommend somebody good or that you know will pull this project through? This is going to be my moment. And I mean, just like I said, word of mouth will always trump anything else you do. Now you have to supplement that, because if you wait on just the word of mouth train, it's a slow start. Okay.
Again, we go back to the whole thing about there's no overnight success.
There is not. I mean, there may be one or two people in this industry that truly had overnight success, but as much fun as we want to make of somebody like Annie Leibovitz walking in with 16 assistants who've set everything up for her thing, she didn't just
no.
She's not 3 days out of film school.
No, not at all.
At all.
She was shooting Rolling Stone magazine back in the late 60s, early 70s.
And again, worked hard.
Yes, and worked hard.
Worked hard.
And partied hard. Just saying.
Hey,
there was some good partying there.
Yeah, and so like I said, to supplement word of mouth, and just if you take anything away from this, make sure that your word of mouth is nothing but the best. Even if it's your worst client, make sure your word of mouth, even if you have to fire that client, do it in a way where they will still recommend you. I like to look at it as you could tell them to go to hell, and they will go home and pack their bag and wait for the bus because of the way you said it.
So have you ever fired a client before?
I have. I have, but not like...
How bad does it have to be for you to fire a client? I mean, how bad?
Non-payment. Okay, that's my criteria.
All right, that's a really good one.
You would be surprised how many people will continue to ask you to work for them without paying, and when you finally confront them about, and my tolerance level for non-payment has shrunk a lot. Early on, it was a long time because I didn't want to mess things up.
Right, right.
And then I realized, hey, there are people out there that will just take advantage of you and see how long they can go. And so I have a very low tolerance for non-payment now. I mean, things happen. I give people chances, but they can never say it was because there was not good communication or a good relationship there. And when I make the determination that someone is just trying to skirt paying me or get out of paying the bill, or they're just trying to stall it as long as possible because they don't have any money in their float, whatever the reason.
Right.
Once somebody doesn't pay me, I just flat out tell them we need to get paid. We got to settle these invoices up. I can't do any more jobs for you because, you know, you owe me $10,000 or whatever.
We can't just keep floating this way.
Right, because at some point this bill is going to be too big to pay. It literally is just like a credit card. At some point it'll be too big to pay, and then if they file bankruptcy, especially in Texas, if they owe you a bunch of money and they file bankruptcy, you'll probably never see a dime of it. So,
right.
I just, like I said, my tolerance as I get older, my tolerance is lower. So, and I'm upfront with them. You know, I used to kind of eased into this with the whole I'm booked. You know, but sometimes don't take the hint, and honestly, I felt bad about that. And I was like, you know what? I'd rather somebody just be honest with me. So I'm just honest with them. Hey, you haven't paid me. I'm not going to do any more work for you. And you would be surprised. That actually gets the ball rolling to get you paid.
So do you think do you have clients that just actually...
In 10 years, I only have... Let me take that back. I had two people that actually got away with stiffing me on money. And it was such a small, trivial amount, I just let it go.
So it's occasionally that you have to fire a client.
It's very rare.
So we're not talking about we're firing a client because, well, you know, they... were too picky over the images or some nonsense.
In 10 years, I would say it's happened maybe four or five times. Yeah, no, I mean, you have to have good communication. I mean, people freak out because a client sends images back for revision. Well, I mean, this is a creative process. It doesn't happen overnight. If a client sends something back, what we've done as a society is we've let email turn into our main form of communication, and there's no body language or tone. So if a client emails back and says, image 1, 3, 5, and 7 are not quite what we're looking for. Let's adjust the crop. Let's do some colors, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know this for a fact, too.
Yeah, yeah,
people
absolutely
take it personally.
They do.
And don't get me wrong, it's hard not to take it personally when somebody says, I'm not happy with that. But you have to understand why they're saying they're not happy. And it may just be because they're just looking at it going, well, we just need to revise it.
Exactly.
They're not upset.
They're not putting that. We make it personal.
Right.
We make it personal about us when they say, well, I don't like these images. We hear, I don't like you as a photographer.
Here's what I would rather have is a client to say, hey, let's work on these images. Let's revise this down. Because sometimes I shoot a lot of jobs where there's no on-site client, and so I have to shoot loose. I shoot multiple angles, and I send a bunch of images back to a remote office through Dropbox for people I've never met face-to-face ever. And a team of people look those over in a meeting, and then they come back. I mean, it's standard practice to get them back, and they say, tighten up the crop, blah, blah, blah. But if I had shot it too tight, you can't uncrop that.
Exactly.
So I have to have that leeway so I know there's going to be a revision. And the deal is you can't take it personally. You just have to know why they're asking for the revision. Now, if you got clients who constantly are – if your client's telling you, hey, this is – we need to revise this and it's not a good way or a team collaboration effort, then you need to look at what you're doing and you need to take away from that. But I would much rather have a client, even in a bad situation, come to me honestly and say, this wasn't quite what we're looking for. Did you have any other angles or whatever? Mm-hmm. Than for them to just disappear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
now, have you found on the – let's talk about the communication here for a second. I want to jump on this because
communication,
honestly,
is key.
We have, you know, so many young listeners in the podcast, and we do have some old listeners too, but – a lot of people are just starting. Let's say they're in the 20-something. And I'm not going to sit here and harp on the millennials, but you guys have some serious issues.
Absolutely.
I'm just telling you right the hell now, okay?
Put a curve in your hat brim, please.
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude. Really? We're going to go sidetrack on the baseball cap?
No, that's
yes.
Okay.
Take the freaking sticker off. I do not want to see the hologram thing anyway.
Keeps resale value up,
yeah,
man.
Keeps the resale value up for eBay. But call me on the phone, okay? Text message. Any of those forms that's not a phone call is a when I have time. So I hate it when clients are texting me, and I will respond via text, but you can't expect an immediate response. Okay, like
yeah.
Right now, we took a break on the other podcast. I went to the bathroom, pulled my phone out, checked it. I have 27 text messages.
Yeah, and I tell you, one of the things that puzzles me is the assumptions that people make. Like my website, yes, that's my cell phone number on there, but it doesn't say cell phone. It's just a phone number. But so many people, I get random text messages from people straight from my website, and I often wonder, wow, before I had a cell phone on there, how many jobs did I miss out because someone just sent a text to that assuming it was a cell phone, yes, and I never got it because that used to be a landline number on there.
Really, I didn't know that.
And I think back and I go, wow, I wonder how many jobs I lost. But then I think again, and usually a client that texts you at 10 o'clock at night or a potential client.
Yeah, that can be a pain in the ass.
It probably wasn't your dream gig anyway. they needed someone the next day because the last guy said he had enough of them.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
But you know, you can't, I mean, you just have to open that up. I mean, yeah, we all have our preferred means of communication. But again, this is knowing your client. You have to know some clients absolutely prefer text. That yes, is not the way that I prefer to communicate, but you know what? If that's what that client wants, that's what I do. You know, if they want to keep texting me, we're going to text back and forth and get it, you know, whatever. We're going to get the job booked. We're going to, you know, whatever the situation is. Same with email. Email is my preferred way to do things, mm-hmm, because there's a record. Everything is right there. I can pick up an email and our whole conversation's there.
Right.
You know, but you know, each client's different. And that's where I think a lot of people... you know, I laugh when I see people online that are armchair shooting on, yes, forums and stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. I hate that shit.
I would absolutely never, ever give a raw file to a client. Well, that's for weddings. I totally get it. In commercial photography, let me tell you, there are clients that absolutely, you better get it right in camera. You're going to dump, mm-hmm, all the raw files to a hard drive and hand it off to them before you leave. And
yeah,
that is
because they're going to do the processing because they already have someone to do it for them. They don't want you to spend money. They don't want to spend money for you doing it because you're not going to do it right.
Right. And I honestly prefer those clients because they usually pay the same rate and you don't have to do any editing.
Yeah, dude, absolutely.
So I will give that client the raw files. In fact, their dedicated graphics guy who's doing all their layouts and stuff is probably better at Photoshop than I'll ever be.
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
So, and that's another little thing. If you have a client like that who has they have a department and they have graphics guys that you're handing images off to,
mm-hmm,
make sure you talk with those guys and you have lunch with those guys and you find out what file formats do you prefer. They may want TIFFs. They might want PSDs. They may just want the RAW file, the CR2 or the NEF file. Find out what your client wants by talking, because your point of contact,
it probably doesn't have an idea.
Probably doesn't even know. You just send them JPEGs, and they just say, that's what the photographer sent us. But if those graphic designers go back to the boss of the department and keep saying, yeah, these images from this photographer aren't that great because you sent them 3,000 pixel JPEGs when your camera shoots 36 megapixel RAW files.
Right, right.
You're not at those meetings and you don't know what happened, and the next thing you know, they don't call you again and they're using somebody else who does exactly what they say.
And you have no idea what happened.
Exactly.
And it goes back to the same thing of marketing and doing that referral, that mouth-to-mouth referral. Who is, even though the company is the one paying your time, it's that graphic designer that's actually editing your images that are the one that's right, going to be talking about you.
Absolutely. They will make or break you too, and if you don't know those people, again, a $50 or $100 lunch for two or three people once every 3 or 4 months is almost as good as word of mouth.
Okay, well, so we did the word of mouth. So what's the next one? Is it FaceTime?
Yeah, clients like to work with people that they like to work with, okay? The best photographer will not always get the job. And anybody who's competed in commercial photography...
Wow, have you ever seen that happen, Jason?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Because I see Facebook photos all the time like, oh, my God, I can shoot better than that person. How come I'm not doing that Nike commercial?
I am certainly not the best photographer for the job. I'm just blanket stating that. But if they like working with you, they're going to hire you because they know that you deliver consistent results. You're pleasurable. Nobody wants to spend an 8-hour day with an asshole.
Ain't that the truth? On either side, we don't want to either.
Well, think about this. A lot of times, the photo shoots, they're just as excited to get out of the office for the photo shoot as you are to have the job. So if everybody's happy and they like working with you, guess what? This is their ticket out of the office on somebody else's money.
They're happy to hire you again.
They're getting paid their 8 hours either way. And if they like work, if you make it not pleasurable, if you're stressed out and you're throwing things and... you're just like blowing up on set and you're stressing out about all the lighting. Oh my God, these mirrors are everywhere.
And, yeah. God, I hate this paint color. And who did this with the floor?
And you make it awkward. They're not going to hire you again.
You're not getting called back.
No. You have to be like a cool cat. I can't tell you how many times on the inside I am stressing. On the outside, they're looking over there at me like, holy crap, the last photographer was throwing crap, and this dude's like just smooth sailing. And I'm throwing crap on the inside, but they never see that.
Right.
And they like working with me. And most of my clients are longtime clients, and it's because, I mean, they've flat out told me, we like working with you. And I know they've never said this to my face, but I know that because of how marketing works, I'm not the only person that markets to them. And I know that they get images.
At least the law of averages.
Right. I know that they're a high-profile company. I know that they get portfolios sent to them that are way better than mine from people who have a lot more experience than me. But, again, word of mouth and being a personable person go further than anything else you do.
Wow.
And I'll stand by that.
So now on the lunches and stuff like that, because I think that a lot of that FaceTime, even if you just kind of show up and say, hey, listen, can I take you to lunch or whatever, and it winds up being a conversation not about business, but just a conversation where it's like, hey, I just want to get to know you as a person, that can go a long way.
Yeah, I don't go that far. I mean, I try to just, because I think at some point they can kind of smell that you're just trying to schmooze them.
Mm-hmm.
If they already like you, it's not a big deal to, hey, I left that hard drive with them on a... This is a perfect example. You buy a really nice, lacy, rugged hard drive or something, you mm-hmm. leave those images with them. That gives you an excuse in 2 weeks to pick up the phone. Hey, I'm going to be over... And you may be sitting at home with no work. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Hey, I was going to be... And they may be 60 miles away across DFW or something. Hey, I was in the area. You mind if I swing by? What time do you go to lunch? I don't want to miss you while you're gone. Show up right before lunch to pick the hard drive up so that they don't have to find time to go to FedEx and ship it back or whatever.
Right.
And then, hey, while I'm here, let's go to lunch. You know, I mean, because people know if they're trying to be greased, and if you're just constantly buying somebody lunch just trying to get work. I mean,
they're gonna know.
Free lunches are great, but they're gonna take your free lunch and hire somebody else and keep getting free lunch. Okay. And I'm not saying that's the way to get work. Free lunch, just free lunches alone is not going to get you work. Okay.
Right.
I mean, just don't misconstrue that. This is all a bunch of little things add up to one big thing here.
Marketing is not just one thing.
No, absolutely not.
It's a combination of a whole bunch of small little things, just like work.
And constant, yeah, just like work, constantly, constant work.
Constant work.
So.
Well, dude, I think that's awesome. So, so we're like coming up on the hour, which is awesome, but we still got to talk about SEO.
Okay, yes, I was just fixing to say, let's get on this SEO.
So let's jump on this SEO, because in the grand scheme of marketing, I know you're talking about that, you know, your referral is gold. And that's your number one thing. You want to have a good mouth-to-mouth reputation, right? And then, obviously, you're going to have some kind of online presence.
That's an absolute must.
So let's talk about that SEO, because that is going to be kind of like the – I mean, isn't that kind of like your online business card where you're going to direct people to? Because people are going to check up on you.
I'm going to tell you from my experience, and this may not always be the case. I mean, I know a lot of wedding photographers, their SEO is a much bigger deal to them
mm-hmm.
because they are trying to generate one-time clients. I mean, I know you would love for everything to be repeat, but they're trying to generate a one-time client that they don't have any personal connection with beforehand. Okay,
that's true.
And it's not too much different for commercial photography either. But I found in my experience, more so than not, my website is there just to confirm, or when people say, so-and-so told me about you, if I get a phone call, so-and-so gave me your number, do you have a website I can look at your work at or whatever? Mm-hmm. You don't have to dig up images. You can just point them straight there. You will get Google traffic, and I think it's very important that you understand Google Analytics and you watch what's going on. And we'll parlay that into a little bit
of
a very hard lesson I learned last year.
Let's parlay that into that. Because that's one of the reasons you're up here.
Absolutely. So what happened is, word of mouth is great, but if you don't have any clients to start word of mouth, you've got to get the initial first. Let's look at a multi-level marketing. You've got to get your baseline of clients going to get that word of mouth snowballing out to bigger, better things.
Exactly.
So you're going to do that by picking up random stuff from Google, okay? You're going to have Google search hits. You're going to pull your website up. And we could spend all day talking about buying Google ads and things like that, and there are strategies to that. that do pay off. It's a little bit over my head, and I do suggest that if you're not a whiz at it already, go ahead and consult with someone, spend a little bit of money initially, and figure out the process and work from there. But in general, though, that's probably the only thing I would recommend spending a little bit of money on. Buying leads, things like that, all a waste of money otherwise, in my opinion. So what happens is, and I used to do all my own websites, you know, I mean, I thought I knew it all, but Google changes things so fast. If you're not doing web design and SEO for a living, it's hard to keep up, if not impossible.
Right, and they keep constantly changing how they deliver the content to someone that searches words.
Well, here's what they understand. They understand how the game is played better than anyone, and when they see the competition, they're monitoring all the web traffic.
Yes.
When they see someone playing the game almost as good as them, and then a lot of people start playing the game almost as good as them, they change it up.
They change the
rules. Just like a five-year-old in Monopoly. They change the rules right before you cross go. So that being said, what happened to me was I had a client call me up and said, "Are you still in business?" This was probably January last year. Mm-hmm. I said, "Are you still in business?" And I hadn't heard from this client in it's 6 or 7 months. And they only do 1 or 2 shoots a year, so it's not a big deal. And then I said, "Yeah, sure. Why? What you need?" And they went, "Well, no, it's not anything. I was trying to refer a friend to you, and I gave them your website, and we tried to pull it up right here on my computer, and it says that it's been blocked for potential." I guess in Google Chrome, it gives you like this red warning that says possible scam, virus, whatever alert.
Right,
and it
right.
won't take you to the website. It just blocks it.
You're blocked.
And I was like, "Well, that's odd." And so sure enough, I've been busy working, okay? This is where working harder can be a double-edged sword. I've been busy working. I've been shooting. I had had a good year the year before. Like I said, that was right after we had gone on that trip for – I had a client that took me up to New England for a month and – you know, so I had plenty of work in Christmas when most people don't. And so I've just been busy and I haven't been paying attention to this stuff. So I did a little digging and I figured out that I was using GoDaddy as a host. And if you don't pay a lot of extra money, they put you on a shared server. So
yes,
there could be 1,000 websites.
And I think a lot of people are actually on a shared server. That's how they get you. That's the entry level for almost anybody.
Absolutely. If you use a free website host or even a really, I would say even if you're paying less than $20 a month for hosting, you're probably on a shared server.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Almost guaranteed. So what happens with the shared server is there's 1,000 websites or more on that one server. So that range of IP addresses, you might be on there with a Nigerian prince and a great uncle from Kenya who is spamming everybody and doing all sorts of nefarious things, and you're just trying to run a photography business. What happens is the internet service providers don't know the difference of what you're doing.
Right, because you're sharing space.
Right.
You're basically a tenant in the same building.
Absolutely. If one meth lab catches fire, the whole building goes up, whether you were cooking meth or not. So, and it's the same process. And so what happens is the internet service provider just says, "Well, that whole range of IP addresses, there's a scammer there, so let's just block them."
Right.
So now what happened was everybody with AT&T, UVerse, Verizon, all these popular internet service providers, my website couldn't be accessed because it was blocked on a shared server with that IP range. It took a couple of weeks to convince GoDaddy wanted to admit no fault in that. They kept telling me everything looks fine on their end, but they're in-house. It's not making it outside.
Right, right. So, they're internal.
Right. So I hate to keep saying their name, so we'll just get it out of the way. I was with GoDaddy on this, and I don't want to keep saying their name because I'm really not happy with what happened. And so what happened is... it took a couple of weeks to get it finally straightened out. And they said, "All right, we've got it fixed. I'm verifying it. I'm calling all my friends who have different, you know, Verizon, service providers to verify this is fixed. Okay, I've got my website back. No problem." Well, then I started noticing, again, I'm busy with existing clients. I'm working. I've got my head down. I'm working hard. And I'm editing images. I'm not paying attention. My focus is not on my web design because, hey, I'm busy working. I don't need to...
Yeah, I don't have to check my website. That's for other people, not for me.
And you lose focus and you forget that, hey, I'm working for just existing clients. I don't have the random 2 or 3 jobs a month that come from Google hits.
Right.
So after a couple, 3 months, I started noticing, hey, I'm not getting any of these random jobs like I used to, but I still had work. So I just I had my head down. I just kept working. I kept shooting jobs against existing clients. I just kept on trucking. Well, then one day I was talking to a friend of mine and who's real smart with IT stuff. I'm no IT guy. I know enough to be dangerous.
Right, right.
So I was talking to him, and I was like, hey, man, I've got all this Google Analytics set up and everything, and I'm looking, and I went in and looked. I noticed that I'm not getting the calls and stuff the same way. And I said, I'm looking, and I went into my analytics, and I've got, like, no web traffic, and I don't know how to interpret this. So I gave him all my login stuff. And this is another photographer. This is leaning on my network.
Right. Okay? These are your network guys.
And this is one of the guys that I mentioned earlier, Kyle Coburn. He is, like, super sharp with all this, and he's been an immense help in my whole career. I mean, this guy, I wish I'd have met him 5-6 years earlier. And just super nice guy. And by the way, if you need a photo booth, he runs the photo bus, which is a vintage VW van that has a photo booth inside of it. Drive it right up to your wedding, hop in the van. And
wait, is he in Dallas?
They have the photo bus is actually in 11 cities now. But yes, we have two of them in Dallas.
I think we have one here in Oklahoma City.
I think you do, actually.
So is that his business?
That is actually John,
like a franchise.
He is franchised out for Dallas, and John DePrisco out of Kansas City is the one who actually owns it and everything.
Wow,
it's a great company. If you need a photo booth, that's the only one you should be looking at. I assure you, great people to work with, and you'll have the most unique photo booth at your wedding. I guarantee you.
Well, no, that's not true, because I'm getting ready to launch my new service, and it's going to be a busted up photo booth in a Kia.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, we have an audience, and I think they're audiencing.
They are, and they're drinking,
is
too.
Is this the hot Heather?
This is a newie. No, this is my friend Melanie. This is the hot Melanie. She just got engaged, and I felt like she needed to meet you because she might be in the market for a wedding.
Oh, that's awesome. Give me like a couple of minutes to wrap this up, yeah. But you can hang out and listen to us because we're really funny.
Just ask us if you don't believe us.
Yeah, just ask if you don't believe us.
Okay, we're going to hang out.
Just hang out. Okay.
So Kyle's been an immense help my whole career, and he's just a super nice guy. But anyway, he's really smart with all this IT stuff. So I was like, hey, let's sit down and look at this. So he says, yeah. So he takes all my login stuff, and he immediately goes right to it. And he says, hey, you're not showing up any search results.
So when you search yourself in Google, like specifically Jason Jones Photography, okay. Dallas, Oklahoma, whatever.
I mean, super, because here's the deal. If you get an email that says, we'll make you first page Google rank.
Yeah, that's an ad.
What you really need to ask is, because nobody can guarantee that. No. What you really need to ask, because anybody can just type in a specific search result and get you the first hit. Okay.
Yes.
If I type in Robert Trawick, Oklahoma City wedding photographer,
I'm up, baby.
You're going to be the first. I don't care who. You're going to be the first one. The only people above you are paid ads, and you're still going to be the first organic hit. So we determined that by page 15, the only thing that had showed up was one hit for a third-party profile I had made on a site called Howls, which is just like interior designers and stuff to kind of just showcase some secondary stuff. Everything else was not even related to photography, and that's with a search of Jason Jones, architectural photographer, Dallas, Texas.
So we're talking very specific search engine in Google that should have yielded the very first thing, your website.
My website did not even come by page 15. There was still no website. So we determined basically Google had blacklisted me. So I'm trying to figure out how this has happened. And what we determined is GoDaddy, when they said they rectified my website problem with the blocked
IP address. With the shared server, right?
They didn't. They told me they moved it to another server to rectify it. They did not. What they did was, and I don't have any hard proof of this, but with some very smart IT people, we figured out this is the only way this happened. Is that they somehow internally did it with proxies to mask those IP addresses so that it...
Oh, gotcha.
So they didn't have to move anything. They basically just hit a couple of keys to mask that IP address. Well, Google instantly picked that up and thought it was Black Hat or hacking or someone scamming trying
because
to hide
you
their...
Because you had already been on...
I had...
You had already been on a shared server that was blackballed.
Right, and now the proxy is linking back to that shared server. So Google immediately went, bam, you're blacklisted. And I was literally blacklisted off of that, but I didn't realize it because I had been working. I had my head down. I didn't pay attention to that stuff. And I had my head down just working, and I literally missed out on several months of potential work. And who knows how many – there's no way to know.
Right.
Someone just searched for an architectural photographer in Dallas, and I never even was a consideration. Not that I'm going to get every job or I'm going to be top ranked every
time. Right, but you were not even in that group.
But I wasn't even in the running, so
and
who knows what I missed
too,
out on.
Just so our listeners can understand, and we know this is going a little long, but we're going to wrap it up here in a second with Jason. He's got some great information. But whenever you search Google, you are not searching the internet. You're searching what Google has referenced as the internet, right. And they're just delivering you what they believe is the best answer
to your question.
To your question.
Absolutely. Google is making that decision for you.
Correct. Like,
when you start to type in a search and it starts auto-filling it out, mm-hmm. they base that on people who have searched. As you type in characters, they've already queued previous searches from everybody all over the world, and they're putting in what the highest searches are, and it goes down the list.
Right.
And so they're basically, Google is filtering what they want you to see as the results for that. So you have to play the game with Google
right.
to get in that good ranking. And like I said, they change it all the time. So this is probably the one area I would say find an expert, and this would be money well spent if you really truly want high ranking.
If that's important to your marketing strategy.
That being said, before this happened, when I was more diligent about checking my ranking and mm-hmm. stuff, I was always somewhere on the first three pages, but I was never, unless you specifically knew my name to search for, if you just searched generic terms, I was never the first hit, but I had I still got plenty of results.
Right.
So don't be discouraged if you're not number one on Google. Only one person can be number one.
That's a good
okay.
point.
It's like I said, nobody can guarantee it, and it depends on what the people search for. And there's lots of things. We could spend all day talking about this, but in analytics, you could look through there, and you can look at keyword searches and stuff, and you can figure out what people are searching for that ended up on your site and stayed there or bounced. And if they bounce real quick, hey, they typed this in, but they're not looking for me.
Right, exactly.
And you can tailor your marketing and your keywords and stuff to fit that. But like I said, that we could talk all day about that. It's a whole science.
And it depends on your client. Like you already said, that right now for your client, having the website is more of a landing place to see some of your images so they can verify that you're a professional.
Right.
If it's a new client. If it's an existing client, they're already using you.
Right.
They got your phone number.
Right. And they're just sending my website out to other people that they're recommending. But there's still some work that you'll drag up off of mm-hmm. Google. And, I get a lot of inquiries. Not all of them are going to pan out. I know people freak out about, I made this bid. I had a random inquiry. It sounded like a great job. And I put a bid in and I never heard back from them. Get used to that. If you're new.
get used to being told no.
Get used to not even hearing anything.
Yeah.
Most people won't even tell you no. They just don't answer the email again because you're out of there. You're out of their budget or whatever, and the inclination is to just immediately fire back with, was that too expensive? I can come down on my price. Chase Jarvis said it best. If you quote someone $1,000 and they say, my budget's only $500, and you go, I'll do it for $500, or you throw $500 out there because they say no to $1,000, they will never, no matter what they tell you to your face, they will never hire you when they have a $1,000 budget. They'll hire somebody else who didn't cave on their price every time. I guarantee you that.
That's a good point.
So,
but you'll always be their $500 photographer.
You'll always be their $500 guy. But when they go, okay, well, if you can do this job cheap, we'll get you on the next one. Oh, they'll get you all right. They're going to get you for $500 again.
Yeah, you're never going to advance.
And when you insist on $1,000, they'll go use somebody else and you won't hear from them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do what you got to do to feed your family. But, at the end of the day, there's a few things to look at. You know, make sure your portfolio is well-heeled. I've got quite a bit of images on mine, probably more than most new people should. If you're new and starting out, you tend to think, well, this is a great image, but it may not be.
What the clients are looking for.
Right. And you need to tailor your portfolio no matter what stage of your career you're in. It needs to be tailored to the client you want. But that being said, especially if you're starting out, you don't need, if you want to shoot real estate photos and you've got 20 photos and they're all obviously the same house, people are going to go, yeah, this guy's, he's way inexperienced.
He's a one portrait
pony. If you've got five images on your portfolio from two different houses and you can't tell any of those came from the same two houses, then that's better than having 20 or 30 images on there any day of the week.
Wow.
So, and just work. And as you work, build up your portfolio. Don't try to have a full portfolio immediately. I mean, most people are not going to sit there and look through 100 images. They're going to go into a page. You're going to lose them after about 30, 35 images tops. Make sure you show the work you want to do and do what you need to do to pay the bills in the meantime. Because, I can't tell you how many wedding photographers I know who have nothing but wedding images on their website. And they get calls and people say, can you come shoot my menu for my restaurant? Well, sure. They shoot cakes and stuff.
Yeah.
And they don't advertise it and they probably don't do it. But hey, I need to keep this train rolling. So they go do it. And
I will specialize in one thing, but I'll shoot it all.
There you go. And so in order to continue to get the high-profile gigs you want, you need to have a refined portfolio, and you'll still get the random calls. You'll still do other stuff. And, you know, it's just, like I said, finding what you want to do, finding your clients, marketing specifically to those clients, you know, back on the leads list. You can buy lead lists for specific industries and clientele. Those are the worst things ever. It's, again, that's one of those things. You can get that exact same lead list by doing
some legwork on the internet.
If you don't have a job one day, you should be on your computer, get out of bed at 8:30 in the morning with a cup of coffee, and you sit down at your computer in your underwear, your PJs, however you want to do it. Nobody's looking. And you start Google. You Google the companies you want to work for, and you find email addresses, and you make a nice mailer, and you email it out. Look at your list. If those people immediately unsubscribe without even clicking on it, don't, you know, move on. Focus your efforts on the person that clicked.
Hang on a second. Let me just go back up. Okay, we're going into the hour. You're going to officially be the longest podcast ever. But that's good, though. You're good. Okay. This is some great information.
We can do number three.
So, yeah, we could do number three. Okay, so I want to just clarify this for a second. So when I get up at like 10 o'clock in the morning, just because, you know, I went to bed at like, you know, 2 o'clock because I was editing or whatever. So I'm up at 10 o'clock in the morning. I get my cup of coffee, and the phone's not ringing, like, with the client right away. Like, I should actually do something?
Yes, and that something should not be watching reruns of Chips or Jerry Springer.
Because I really thought that's what happened. Like, I just would put a website out, and people would just, like, start calling me.
I love a good midget love triangle as much as anybody. But if you spend your off days just watching TV, it's not going to work for you as much as if you get in there and do something. And you have to budget time. I'm going to be honest with you. I work a lot, and when I touched on earlier, if you look at my social media profile and my travel, and you don't know me, you're going to think, man, does this guy even work? He's just all over the place. Let me tell you, I mean, I was telling Robert about this. I just did a trip where I shot 30-something commercial properties.
I'm sorry, they're walking okay. By like, you guys got to get the hurt out of here. It's like 5 o'clock, my God.
They're waving wine at us, though.
They are waving wine because they're whiners. Get it?
But yeah, that trip I just shot like 30-something commercial properties all over Texas and Oklahoma, and I did 2,100 miles in 4 days.
Wow.
To do that, okay? I lived in a rental car. I slept in that rental car a couple of times. And I mean,
you didn't stay at the Hilton? What the hell?
No. No. Let me tell you, I'm the king of getting the flea bag on Priceline because I'm literally there for 4 hours to crash and get back up before sunup, and I'm back on the road.
Wow.
But, you know, like I said, it pays good, it pays the bills, and, you know, I still manage to have fun. I schedule it, and what you have to do in your life, you have to schedule this time. Like I said, I'm a big outdoorsman, and I take my kids and my family. We go camping, hunting, fishing a lot, but I actually have to put that stuff on my schedule. One of the benefits of being self-employed is you have that flexibility. If you don't schedule those things, and I don't mean you're a bad time manager or anything like that.
Right.
If you just say, oh, yeah, honey, we're going to take the family camping. I'm kind of busy this month, so let's do in April. We're going to go camping. All right? Right now, this is end of February here.
Right, right.
If I say we're going to go camping in April and I don't put it on my schedule, what's going to happen is I'm going to look up one day and I'm going to have been super busy in March and it's going to be April 15th and I haven't got my taxes filed yet and we can't go camping because I've got to cram to get my taxes done.
Yeah, it's out.
And it's all gone and we've lost that time.
I'm horrible about that.
I am too.
I am bad.
Don't misunderstand me. I still mess up and my wife is probably listening to this going, yeah, you're the idiot that messes it up all the time. But I've gotten a lot better about you put that time. I make if we want to go camping for a week, I block a week off on my schedule. And I go, this is when we're going camping. And unless there's some real weird weather situation.
Right, right.
And if clients call, this is one of the things early on that really was afraid to do. When a client calls and says, I got a job right now. We got to do this. And I'm like, crap, this is Friday and they want to shoot on Tuesday and I'm going camping all week next week. Well, let me move my trip around. No. Don't do that. Most clients respect someone who is upfront with them. And I tell the client, hey, listen, I've got a lot of clients that I've told, listen, I'm out of town next week. I've booked this time out. I'm out of town. Can we do this shoot when I get back the next week? You would be surprised. Most of them are like, yeah, that's great, because they want to use you. It's very rare that a client will say, no, we can't do this. And most of the time it's real estate because it's all last minute.
Right.
And I can tell you this, those real estate agents will go use somebody else real quick, and they'll still use me. You don't lose that client. They respect that you said, hey, I just, you know, I'd love to do this, but I can't. And I'm not saying just turn down jobs and go party all the time. But
no, but you're talking about scheduling, and as important it is to schedule that client and tell your family, look, I can't because I have to go shoot. It's just as important to tell that client, I can't shoot because I have to spend on my family.
If I was a single guy that had no other obligations, I would probably work even harder than I do now. Instead, opposite of what people would think, I'd probably blow it off more. But when you've got a family and stuff, I mean, you can't just live behind a computer and you can't just disappear on your family. You have to budget that time. And you're just, even if you're a single guy or girl or whatever, you're going to burn out if you work 7 days a week.
Right.
You're going to burn out. It's not if, it's when. And you will do it faster than you think. And when you do burn out, you're done. And you'll lose anything you've built up. So you have to pre-program in those things. You can't just wait until, that's my slow season. I probably won't have any work in November. So I'll just do it in November.
You got to put it on the calendar.
We'll take that vacation in November. What'll happen is November will come and you'll be booked and you'll never take the vacation. And your kids are going to go, yeah, we didn't see Dad for 3 years.
I know. And I want to just say before we go here, I constantly blame my kids for not wanting to spend time with me. But it's probably the other way around. I never schedule time to spend time with my kids.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, trust me, everybody that's listening to this that says, oh, man, I'm horrible about that, we are too. Don't feel bad.
We are too. But here's the thing. There's a difference between saying I'm horrible about whatever and then not doing anything about it.
Right. Just take
this. There are days I fail and then there's days I succeed.
When you listen to this podcast, seriously, just grab your husband, pick up your calendar right now, just because I'm jogging your memory on it, and go, hey, when are we taking that vacation, and put it on the books. Just do it once.
Absolutely.
If you do it once, you'll do it again, and then after a while,
it'll get happy. And then, okay, so I'm going to plug, just because Jason here, he's awesome. Don't forget that Bedford's PhotoCon is coming up in March. We'll have this posted way before then, probably. And Leah Smethers is doing a class on workflow. And I really hope she talks about this because I wish we had times so you could meet her because she is like a scheduling nut. Like, seriously, like she has several planners.
I need some scheduling help.
She has several planners in front of her iMac, and she's constantly, she's amazing. So anyway, she's actually teaching a class on this, and maybe, who knows, maybe next year we can get Jason out here to Bedford to teach some classes. Or maybe we'll do something in Dallas.
Before we go, I have to do a shameless plug, though.
Oh, no. Okay. Do a shameless plug.
In all of my website debacle last year,
yes,
Photo Shelter saved the day.
Okay? Photo Shelter. PhotoShelter.com. I know
those
guys.
Do you have a code? I do have a code, and Robert, I will give that to him. He will put that in the blog below this post.
Yes. Because you don't know what it is off the top of your head, do you?
I don't know. It's a big, long code. Okay? You'll just want to click on it. You don't want to write it down. But I'll get a referral credit, and you'll get a $10 referral credit towards your plan when you purchase it as well. And I highly recommend the guys. Their SEO is down great. The templates are super easy to use, and they're not paying me. They don't even know I'm here to say this. I'm saying this because I'm that happy with the product.
You know, James Pratt actually uses them as well.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if you know James or not. And he uses he brags about their SEO all the time.
It's been amazing. It literally helped me turn my situation around. It wasn't instant, but within 30 days, I was back to better than I was before all of that happened.
Really?
Yes. Just from getting my domain moved and getting new images up and keyworded correctly, I was back in the ballgame in less than 30 days with the SEO.
How's the back end for building the website? Pretty easy?
Stupid easy. I mean, I'm telling you, my kids could have just told my kids what I wanted, and they could have built it.
No, it's
very, you literally just upload images. You don't have to upload web size. Just put your full res images up there. They have download protection. I mean, you name it, they've thought it out. All they do is commercial photographer websites, and they specialize in this, and they have it down. So go to the link. If you're thinking about a new website, go to that link at the bottom. Click on that. We'll both get a little cash out of the deal on our account.
He's always working. I told you.
There you go.
Jason is always working.
But, hey, we both get free money out of the deal. There's nothing wrong
with
that.
You can't beat that.
No.
You cannot beat that.
And it's a great service. I'm not plugging it because they gave me anything. They literally don't know I'm even here doing this and saying this. I just love their product that much.
But I think you should tell them.
I probably will.
I think you should tell them.
They probably have people that monitor their social media, and they'll see this. So.
Well, yeah, because I'll tag it. We'll tag it on Twitter.
There you go.
I'm sure they have a twit.
I don't know. I don't do Twitter, so.
Oh, my God, dude. You're missing a part of the marketing pie.
No. I focus my efforts elsewhere.
Oh, nice.
I know my audience, and they're not on Twitter.
There you go.
If
right
they
there.
Are, it's secondary.
That is how we're going to wrap up here. Know your audience, and his is not on Twitter. So thank you guys so much. Jason, it's been fantastic. We might have an opportunity to be able to talk to you again maybe tomorrow. And we'll talk about something else. You guys have a great day. It was great spending time with you.
Visit our world headquarters at photofaxpodcast.com.